I want to share a brief story with you all this evening. I think I've mentioned in the past, my parents, they live in Peru. And so I've had a few experiences there, and that's where my story comes from this evening. I want to share this story because I hope it can give us all a better perspective into what it means to be a Christian who truly sacrifices themselves in service to the Lord. This story has two parties. One is a person named Manuel, and the other party is a group called the Shining Path. Manuel, he was a Christian man, a Peruvian, and the Shining Path is a terrorist group that operates in Peru. You don't hear much about them anymore. They were pretty active back in the 80s and the 90s, but they pretty well died down now. But this communist militant group, back in their heyday, they did a lot of bad stuff. And among their list of illicit activities, like many communist groups around the world, they killed many people who claimed to be Christians. And one of these people they came after was this man named Manuel. You see, Manuel, he was a missionary. He traveled the Andes Mountains, and he preached the gospel. And from what I understand, because of his work, over 300 congregations have been established over his lifetime. And back in the early 90s, he was doing what he does, town to town, and the Shining Path caught up to him, and they drug him out of town, and they brought him into a field, and they asked if he was a Christian, and he said yes. And so they held a gun to the back of Manuel's head, and they shot him. And they left him to die in that field. God must have had other plans for Manuel because he didn't die. Somehow he survived getting shot in the head. And I had the pleasure of meeting him back in 2009 for the first time. He's a pretty short man. Most Peruvians are short, but he's extra short. And he kind of shuffles along. He has a gimpy leg. I don't know if it's from getting shot or from something else, but he always wears a baseball hat. And sometimes he takes off his hat, and on the back of his head, you can see this web of scars and the pit where he was shot. And I was 14 when I met him, so just imagine what kind of impact that would have on a 14-year-old. See, at the time, it was my life goal to become a missionary and to work in Peru or some other country, but you know, I'd read many stories of Christian martyrs throughout history. The Bible is chock full of people being killed for their service to God. It doesn't take much searching to find present-day examples of Christian martyrs. But even though I have read many stories and heard of many people who paid that price for their faith, to actually meet someone face-to-face who was very literally willing to give up his life for Christ, it had a very big impact on me as a young teenager. It gave me a very tangible example to follow. And I had the privilege of working with Manuel again, and it was 2013 or 14, there was a short-term medical team that had come, and we were going back to town on the bus ride. It was a few hours long. I got to sit next to Manuel on the bus and talk to him. And talking to a man like that's not something you get to do every day. And my conversations with Manuel prompted a question. Usually when I have to do a devotional, I find a passage or a topic that has prompted a question for me, and I attempt to articulate an answer. So my question that I ask myself, and the question that I present to you all this evening is this: what are you doing to serve Jesus? What are we all doing to serve the Lord? And kind of a follow-up question, what are we willing to do to serve the Lord? Not just say we're willing to do, but actually do. Now, when I was 14, I asked myself that question. I had just met this man who got shot in the head for being a Christian, for refusing to denounce his faith in Christ, And there I was on this mission trip thinking that I was a Christian because, hey, I'm on a mission trip. I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm saying the right things. Little did I know that I was just as lost as those terrorists who were trying to kill Manuel. And I felt like everything that I was doing, it wasn't enough when you compare it to a man like Manuel. And that same question, it still rattles around in my brain because I still don't feel like I'm doing enough to serve the Lord. So I want to serve him like Manuel did. Like he still does to this day. He still travels from town to town preaching and teaching. And he's getting kind of old, but he won't quit. And so I wonder, do we have that kind of commitment to the gospel? Do we have the courage and the dedication that it takes to simply preach the gospel everywhere we go? You know, the early church, they had that kind of dedication. Just look at the apostles. Read through the book of Acts. Jerry's doing the study on the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. If you don't come for the Bible study on Sunday mornings, sit here 1 o'clock an hour earlier. Because you'll see that almost all of the apostles ended up being killed for their faith. They all suffered. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. You can read about all of Paul's sufferings. You can look at Acts 4, one of the first times that Peter and John were called to defend their faith. Look at Acts 7 with Stephen's death. Almost all of the apostles ended up being killed for their faith, but we have the luxury of living in a country that we don't have to fear arrest or execution if we preach the gospel. Maybe a fine here or there, but nothing serious. So what's our excuse for not doing it? I guess that's what I'm getting at. What's our excuse for not doing what we're told to do, to preach the gospel? You know, what's keeping us from going across the street to talk to the neighbor that we've lived next door to for however many years? What's keeping us from talking to our relatives who are unbelievers? What's keeping us from talking to our teachers or professors at school? Is it our pride, maybe? Are we afraid our reputation might be tainted? Are we afraid of being rejected? Are we afraid of maybe not having all the answers that they might ask about? Something I can help, at least with answers, is studying the Bible. What's keeping us from studying the Bible? Do we say that maybe we're too tired from work? Maybe we have too much homework to do? Maybe the kids keep us too busy. I don't have any kids, so I can't speak on that. But somehow we seem to find time to do everything else that we want. We find time to watch UK basketball, or we find time to go to the movies, or to watch Netflix, or to exercise, whatever you like to do. But we'll make all kinds of excuses for not doing what God has asked us to do. And so this evening, I hope that we can maybe be pushed a little bit to proclaim Christ with boldness, even if there are negative consequences. Because it's just temporary. I hope that you can proclaim Christ at your schools and your universities, even if it means people might think you're a little odd. Maybe a professor might turn against you and make it his life mission to tear you down. I hope that we can proclaim Christ to our neighbors and our coworkers, even if they disagree with us, even if they don't maybe want to listen. And heaven forbid, I hope we can proclaim Christ even if it costs us our life. Because that's what God has called us to do. Now, he's called us to turn this world upside down with the gospel, not in a brutish, bullying sort of way, but in a way that shows the love of Christ through our words and our actions, in spite of the maybe temporary pains or consequences or fears that we might have. And so in closing, we always have an invitation. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're wondering, why in the world would someone be willing to die for this man who lived a couple thousand years ago named Jesus? If you haven't ever experienced the life-changing message of Jesus, come ask. We'll study it with you. I would hope that you would accept the message of Jesus this evening, though, if you haven't already, to put your faith in Christ as the Son of God, to confess his name, and to repent and turn away from a life of sin toward a new life with Christ, and to humble yourself to be baptized this very evening so you might arise from the water and walk in newness of life. And if you're here and you're already a Christian and you have a need that we can help you with, likewise come forward as Jeremiah sings the song of invitation.
Sweet is the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
You're not dismissed to your classes.